probably cost us money.
Blog Talk Radio.
Gotta be quiet.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Welcome, everybody. We appreciate you tuning in and dialing in. Just before we turned on the mics, I had a chance to talk to one of our listeners, Anita in Albuquerque. So good to have you on, Anita, along with many, many others. We have a special guest today that's going to be very interesting discussion about all the changes that's going on within the industry regarding appraisal management and appraiser independence. We have Steve Haslam, president of CEO of StreetLinks, on the program later on. Also, if you haven't already done so, head on over to Lickin' on Lending, L-Y-K-K-E-N, on lending.com. Log in and register on that website. Again, a special thank you to the folks there at Housing Matrix, Howard Voiles and his crew, for hosting that website for us and keeping it up to date and all the things that are related to that. We really appreciate that, Howard. But register for updates on the future broadcasts. We send out weekly notifications of who the guests will be so that you are up and informed on who's coming on the program and what the topics are. We appreciate you listening and so grateful to have you be a part of it. Again, today is Monday, December 13th, and we have got a jam-packed program. But, boy, I tell you, talk about jam-packed is what's going on in the markets. Joe Farr, what is the explanation for all the volatility? We only wish you knew.
Well, today, you know, there was a rapid rise in prices, MBS prices, starting about 11 o'clock this morning, a little after 11 Eastern time. Wish I knew exactly why. That coincided with, the beginning of some Fed purchases in the Treasury markets. But and then also since about that time, not sure it has a whole lot to do with it, but one of the courts has ruled that part of the Obama health care bill is an overreach and should not be something that the government can require, that part about requiring people to buy coverage. And you know, it may be a stretch, but as people have looked at the health care and the potential for deficits and the, you know, the drag on how many people or how much in security issuances there going to be for funding that deficit, it weighs in on interest rates. And so don't know exactly why. I wish I had more to tell you about that. But today, you know, we started the day low, lower than we ended Friday, and it fell down to about 12, down 12, 30 seconds for the day, largely on, the budget deficit that was announced late last week was bigger than expected, and also there's been some announcements out of China that are impacting our market. The Chinese the inflation in China has risen higher than they'd like, and there was talk about them raising rates this morning. They didn't do that, but either way, it's kind of a negative for us in that if they raise rates and they're the buyers of our securities, we're going to have to raise rates to attract those buyers. And then secondly, if they don't raise rates and their inflation rises to the point where the prices they pass on to us are going to be higher, and that's going to raise our inflation, which is going to raise rates. So, yeah,
well,
kind
together,
of a whatever happens.
Yep.
But, it's been volatile is a key word. I mean, we're volatile today. We were volatile last week. I was just counting up. One correspondent issued 15 rate sheets last week. Actually, it's 14 rate sheets last week.
Is that almost a record?
It's close. It's close. I don't remember one. There was one day, Tuesday, which was the day we lost about a point in price. They issued four. So you don't see that very often. But let's talk a little bit about last week. It was volatile, to say the least. Monday started off very nice. Rates, MBS prices improved. You know, Bernanke addressed a group and talked very favorably about quantitative easing and the degree to which he stands behind that. And that was helpful for the market. But then late in the day on Monday and early evening Monday, the president and the Republicans reached their agreement on the extension of the Bush-era tax credits and the tax cuts and the other things that came up with that, the unemployment extension and some other things. And that was terribly negative for MBS prices. Like I said earlier, Tuesday, the MBS prices fell by 1%. That's 1 point in price, not by 1% of the price, 1% in price. And it's under the expectation that the continuation of the tax rates is good for the economy, good for keeping money in people's hands. Of course, that was pretty well anticipated. What was not anticipated, was the cut in the unemployment insurance rate. Tax rate, and that is considered stimulative, and that has several consequences. One is a growing economy is inflationary, which is concerning. Another is it costs a lot of money, and that adds to the demand for Treasury, which tightens up the market for MBS, which means that rates may have to go up to attract investors. And then thirdly, it might also stimulate the economy to the point where the Fed doesn't need to do as much quantitative easing as they've considered in the past. So all those were negative for mortgage rates, and rates really had a bad day on Wednesday. Thursday, they continued poorly, but an acceptable 10-year Treasury auction kind of helped bring the market back on Wednesday. Thursday, a nice 30-year Treasury auction caused improvement in price. And then Friday prices fell again a little bit based on some economic data that's a little stronger than expected. But, it was just a very volatile week. And then that was in a week where we had very little economic information to come out. This week we're full of information. Who knows what's going to happen.
What do we have on the calendar this week? I know it's a lot.
Tomorrow we have the Fed meeting at 2:15, the announcement from their Fed meeting. There's not it's not as anticipated as the last one was. They may say more about quantitative easing, which could move the market. They may say more about the current state of their belief about the economic growth, et cetera, which could move the market. That's going to be preceded by two pretty important economic announcements. Both PPI and retail sales are going to be announced at 8:30 tomorrow. So tomorrow's a big day. Wednesday's a big day as well. CPI comes out at 8:30. Industrial production comes out at 9:15. Again, these are all Eastern times. And then Thursday, jobless claims comes out. It's a big week. And what can we expect from all this? It's December. It's thin trading. Yeah. Lots of economic announcements, so anticipate more volatility.
Something we don't know anything about. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Quite to the contrary, we have seen volatility. Jill, thank you so much for bringing us the update each and every week. Interesting. We'll have to stay tuned. And if you're inside of and watching this from the perspective of having MBS quote line in there, what an advantage. So thank you so much, Joe. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Welcome back, everybody. And remember, we've got Steve Haslam, President and CEO of StreetLinks, on as our guest coming up here shortly. And we're looking forward to hearing about him talk about so much going on regarding appraiser independence And that goes right down the theme of so much regulation that's coming on. It's rule changes and regulation. It is just astounding. A year such as we have never seen before. Alice Alvey and her crew and her team at Mortgage U, along with their sister company, Wetzel Trott, do an amazing job of analyzing all that's going on, keeping us informed. And each week we have Alice Alvey bringing it to us. Alice, welcome to the program. By the way, how cold is it up there in Detroit anyway?
We're a little cold, but we're also buried in snow and ice. We got that storm that it hit us after it, you know, caved in the roof at the Metro Dome there.
Yeah. It's good to have you on the program.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Snowed in here. But anyway, just to give everybody an update, I will tell you, you know, just when you think we've got all we can cope with the financial regulatory reform bill and Title 14 and Dodd-Frank, we have another new rule we have to really pay attention to. The Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, so abbreviated, that's FinCEN, F-I-N-C-E-N, Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. They have always overseen the banks under the Bank Secrecy Act, so the banks are used to dealing with them. And they tried back in 2009 to get the lenders and the brokers kind of under their wing and providing them information. It didn't quite work, and so here we are again. Many years later, they are still trying to get that lenders and brokers would be subject to the anti-money laundering programs as well as the suspicious activity reports, the SAR reports. So the anti-money laundering is critical. I mean, it requires internal policies and procedures. You have to designate a compliance officer. Ongoing employee training is required under this law. So an independent audit functions and testing your programs. I mean, these are comprehensive regulations
Wow.
where they're trying to, scoop up some more fraud info. I mean, on one hand, you know, they want to be able to say, you know, we can't argue as an industry. Boy, it would be great if we all talked about things together and we could stop the fraudsters. But, you know, that's a lot of data to sift through. And when is something honest misrepresentation versus fraud? So I think it's a big challenge in trying to roll something like that out for our side of the industry. And, Dave, I know, you know, we had talked that Andy Schell has experience in this with having been a bank auditor, so I wanted to get Andy's take and give the listeners a little bit of a spin on, you know, the complexity of what this means. The comment period's open until February 7th of 2011, but I think people have to react to this. We've got enough regulations. And, Andy, what does anti-money laundering mean, you know, in general for a lender? What do they have to implement?
Well, it's going to mean more people. It's going to mean more procedures. It's going to mean more stuff you got to do. You know, like at a regular depository, they've got an appliance department, and they'll have a compliance officer and somebody who does this full-time. You know, oftentimes in mortgage banking, compliance officer really means just the designated representative for the various state licensing you have to deal with. So you take an underwriter and you have them pass the state licensing test, and they're called your compliance officer, but they really don't do anything, you know, other than just underwrite loans. Well, that's very different than at a bank. At a bank, there's somebody who really focuses on compliance training, implementing all this stuff. So this is going to mean higher margins for mortgage bankers to cover these costs, which is going to mean higher consumer costs ultimately to address all of this regulatory change.
Well, and I think, too, the key is in when you read the definition in this proposal. Now, for everyone to understand, it is a notice of proposed rulemaking. So it's kind of an advance notice of here's what we want to learn about and what we want to propose. What we as an industry have to do is get back with them and say, well, here's how we're already monitoring ourselves. Now, that's kind of a two-edged sword in this because they want to know what we're doing and maybe they want us to report what we find. So you think about all the fraud detection tools and things that you're using in your system, how are we going to, as an industry, coordinate what information would have to get reported? And it does include brokers. And, you know, so all the finer details to be worked out, plan A would be let's show them that somehow it just really doesn't pick up and apply if you're not actually financing this and keeping deposits. Do you think that's what kind of argument can we make that this shouldn't apply?
Well, we're a lender where we extend credit to consumers, and banks are lenders and extend credit to consumers. Now, the banks have all the depository side, so there's risk associated with taking deposits and money laundering through a deposit account. So that's where the line can be drawn boldly, that we don't take deposits, we don't manage consumer money like that. But it seems to me that the legislators are talking about, well, they make loans, you make loans, you're all the same. Well, no, not really, because we don't take any deposits. So I think that's one of the key elements we have to focus on, is the purpose of the compliance function within a bank as it relates to the depository activity, and how that needs to get carved out and not affect mortgage.
All right, so everybody, listen to Andy's comments. Remember, the show is recorded, so if you couldn't write fast enough, go back and listen to the recording. And write your comments.
That's a great point.
That's the second time today I've been told I talk too fast.
No, you're not talking too fast for the show. You're just talking too fast for us to write or type. So,
yeah,
especially for those of us still thumb typing on everything. So, all right, write on your cell phones. The one other thing I want to make sure too is everybody realizes, you know, we do have the depositories who are gearing up for their SAFE Act compliance. Notification has come out recently that the NMLS is gearing up to January 28th. It appears to be the date that the NMLS system will be open to take the registrations for the institutions, and that'll start rolling quickly then for you to get your loan originators registered, those of you who are depository originators. That means they will be running a fingerprint background check. You don't take a test. You don't have to take education at most companies, but you need to check your regulatory standings, and it'll be up to the bank to decide what can be on that background check. One last quick reminder here for our year-end watch list. Remember that it's the end of loan correspondent status as of December 31st. Some of you might see a switch flip in FHA connection for those of you with your FHA approvals going away. Application dates as of January 1st of 2011 must have this risk-based pricing disclosure. You need policies in place for how to determine when these disclosures have to go out. If you need help with that, give us a call. The credit bureaus have also been very good at providing information to everybody. Also, mortgage servicing transfer disclosures, effective January 1st. Those of you who sold to Fannie Mae, you remember how Fannie Mae was sending out a disclosure when they received a loan.
Yes.
So the new disclosure, it's not a new format. People have been asking about a new form. It's not a new form. It's just a new when I have to do it. I now also have to arrange that my customer receives a disclosure in the event of even a sale to, for example, Fannie or Freddie. So the covered persons has changed. You can arrange for either or of you to send out that disclosure. And then we are watching for the end of January. Be ready that we will have a new TIL for January, at the end of January starting to come out, but mandatory compliance not being until after that. And we're going to be talking about the appraiser independence rules under Dodd-Frank
yes.
in our next segment. And that's April 1st of 2011. Yeah.
Yeah, a segment after the Profit Doctors specifically.
Oh.
Also, I want to put out a correction. Something I made a statement, a listener brought to my attention last week. I made a statement. It's true that as of December 31st, the Mini Eagle program goes away. But that doesn't mean that brokers are dead in the water as far as how they do business with the correspondent. It's just that the correspondent is now fully responsible for all of that. And I just want to make sure that we draw that a clear distinction that while that one aspect, the Mini Eagle program, is going away from HUD, the many correspondents are going to be able to fund their loans and continue to do so. So the broker's not dead in the water when it comes to government loans. Anything you want to add to that comment, Alice? I just want to make sure that that was really crystal clear.
Well, here's the part that I guess that you are absolutely correct in clarifying that. So the term, what happens to someone who is a loan correspondent now and has not received mortgagee approval status, you haven't been able
right.
to elevate to that 1 million level approval, your title now changed. You now become a sponsored originator, and sponsored originators cannot close loans in their name.
That's
so
right.
That's kind of the catch-22, and I think what you were trying to say last week is, you know, that so it's just a change in how you may operate. There is talk at FHA to be able to say, would they consider a change? But as of now, we don't see that there's any immediate change that's going to happen. So as of December 31st, you'll have to be careful on that front. Only the name of an FHA-approved mortgagee can appear on the note.
Good distinction, Alice. Thank you so much for bringing it to
You're
us.
Welcome.
And I can't wait for your comments as we dive in and talk to Steve Haslam, who is again, President and CEO of StreetLinx, will be with us. He's up in Pittsburgh. He's kind of up there in the cold country along with you, Alice. So we'll get a weather report and an update from him. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in with us each and every week. Alice, thank you for bringing us the legislative update. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals
providing classroom and web-based delivery
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lincoln.
Welcome back, everybody. And each and every week, we bring to you the Profit Doctor, fixing what ails your bottom line. And he's got some great ideas for us this week. Andy Schell, welcome to the program. You know what, Andy? One thing that's being true to form about this industry is everything is about change. New procedures for appraisals, new procedures for disclosures, new procedures for LO compensation. Andy, there's lots of true rules. And for a guy who's so process-oriented, how do you keep up with this stuff?
Well, I just ask Alice. I mean, how are you going to keep up? That's a great question. All these changes, it's like, good grief. What are we going to do next? Well, you know, Dave, you and I got together a couple of days ago, and we had lunch at a barbecue place, and
Austin. Imagine that.
Yeah, barbecue just outside of Austin. So what's cool about going to that place is every time we have lunch there, we have a consistent experience.
Yes.
We go in and the barbecue's good, the food's good, the people are nice, the environment's, you know, it is what it is, and it's a fun place to be. So it's an amazing barbecue place with lots of tasty barbecue. So, but you know, while we were there, we were talking to the owner about maybe getting another office of their barbecue operation over closer to Austin. They're about 30 minutes outside of Austin. And the owner was concerned about being able to have consistent quality.
Yeah.
He can't be there to watch it every time. And that's a really key point. See, he knows he'll lose customers if he doesn't have the same environment with the same food that tastes the same. So
Consistency of service, consistency of product. Good.
Exactly. Now, think about this. Let's look at the franchise restaurants. Let's look at a Chili's or an Outback or someone like that. They have consistent food at the table every time at every location. So, you know, if you look at that, you look at the barbecue guy who goes, I don't know how I'm going to have a multiple office, and you look at Chili's and Outback, well, they obviously do it. Well, so how do they do that? How do they have...
What's the difference? Yeah.
How
do they overcome that?
Well, the key point is procedures and extensive training. They have very, very, very detailed procedures about how to fold a napkin, how to wrap a napkin, and they have training about this is how you fold a napkin, this is how you wrap a napkin, this is how you greet a customer, this is how you carry the food out. So from the chefs to the core to the waiters, everything is cookie-cuttered, and they do that with procedures and training. And in our business... Our business is all about preserving quality at the point of closing. You know, we want for our customers, our mortgage bank customers, to when they buy a house and get a loan from us or if they refinance, but primarily on the purchase side, we want for them to tell all their friends that they love their lender. You know, there's a commercial out that talks about, I love my lender. I personally have never actually... Well, I've only seen it maybe once or twice.
Yeah, many studies would suggest that we don't do that very well as an industry.
We don't. Usually we're happy if they just don't complain about the closing experience. You know? So
true.
Go ahead.
That's sadly the truth, yes.
Yeah, I know. It's really, in my mind, it's the black eye of the industry that we can't have happy customers consistently because we're all about get them closed, get them fund them, get the commission, keep the realtor happy, and if the customer gets in the way, then all right, fine. As long as they get closed, that's fine. I think we really need to redirect our focus on the customer experience rather than getting the loan closed at any cost just to make the realtor happy. Rabbit trail, sorry about that, one of my soapboxes. But so in mortgage banking, we want to deliver a consistent product, and our product is a closed loan. And we do this by having well-trained staff who knows the procedures and knows how to deal with any exceptions. So if you know the rules and you're the only person in the company, then you can be consistent because you're the owner and you know everything and you're watching everything and you're doing everything. Actually, frankly, this is why the small brokers are so effective, because they have one or two people that touch everything and can make certain the customer's experience up until it gets handed off to underwriting is consistent, and that's obviously where it breaks down because brokers can't control closing. So how do we get all of our customers to have a positive mortgage experience? Well, again, it's about having procedures and policies and training and making certain everybody knows how to do the job. We have to have confidence. We, as the owners of the company, have to have confidence that our customers will have a consistent experience everywhere they go within an organization, just like restaurants. And so restaurants do it by having extensive training and extensive procedures. And they do this by having procedure for everything, just about. It seems ridiculous, but this is what you have to do to have replicated offices. If you're going to have more than one office, you need to make sure, how does the branch get trained? How do they know the procedures? Do they have current updated procedures? You know, I believe that, and we're talking about new appraisal procedures today on the show, I believe that the success in mortgage banking in the future is going to be relying upon structured procedures and training. I really, frankly, Dave, think that the days of shoot from the hip, fly by the seat of your pants mortgage banking are gone. We're talking about compliance.
So true.
You know, compliance rules, accounting rules, appraisal procedures. Every company needs to get trained, and they need to have well-documented procedures. You know, Dave, you and I are teaching a class for Campus MBA on accounting coming up in January. Alice travels all over the country training people, teaching people, working with creating procedures. Every mortgage company in the country is going to have detailed, solid procedures, because without procedures and training, the customer experience won't be consistent. So if you're looking at adding branches, you've got to have consistent customer experience by having good procedures. So just like we want our food served hot and tasty, you've got to do it with your tasty loans. So the owner of the barbecue place in Austin knows that it's very difficult to open up another office. So mortgage bankers should likewise know, if you're going to add another branch, how are they going to get trained? Do you even have a training procedure? Do you even have a training program? Do you even have your procedures documented? They may think, well, they've been doing $5 million a month, so they must know how to do it, so let's just let them do it. That is very, very dangerous, and you're putting your company at risk by doing that. You've got to have consistent customer experience. So anyway, Dave, that's my profit doctor for today.
Good. I always love, folks, for you listeners that listen to us regularly, you know how Andy Schell, our infamous profit doctor, can take some really wild, outside-of-the-box examples and bring it back to us. So here you got it. Now we got a barbecue story in there relating to how we need to have consistency. So true, Andy. Folks, you're going to want to stay tuned. We've got Steve Haslam coming up, who's president and CEO of StreetLinks. And I can't wait to get into that discussion. We've got so much to hear about appraiser independence and all the options available to us. We're going to be right back after this brief break.
It's time for the Mortgage Minute with Rob Katz of Del Mar DataTrack.
RealtyTimes.com posted Bob Hunt's recap of the recently released 2010 Home Buyer Survey, collected from over 10,000 consumers who purchased homes between July 2009 and June 2010. Some of the stats that showed up include that first-time homebuyers made up 50% of the market. Only 4% of buyers purchased a home that had been foreclosed or was in the process of being foreclosed, and 74% used the Internet frequently during their search process. As a lender, knowing where your borrowers are coming from should help you decide where to spend your marketing dollars. How can you reach these first-time homebuyers that are using the Internet to research what house to buy? Answering that question effectively could have a big impact on your bottom line. You can find this story called 2010 Home Buyer Survey Contains Valuable Information for Agents and Sellers at RealtyTimes.com. Then, if you're interested in an assessment of where the housing market is today, you need to check out Michael David White's posting at HousingStory.net called New Housing Crash Trend and Obvious Severe Risks in 15 Key Charts. This posting includes historical graphs for things like months of supply of existing homes for sale and units for sale, and mortgage debt versus property values, and many, many more. As the title implies, the stats are not painting a very good picture for the state of our housing market. You can find this presentation, which I highly recommend, at housingstory.net. Well, those were the stories that caught my attention this past week for the Mortgage Minute. This is Rob Katz with DMD, and I'll be back next week with the news I think you should know about.
This has been the Mortgage Minute with Rob Katz of Del Mar Data Track. Catch Rob's news of the week right here on the Lickin' on Lending Show or online at dmdinc.com. Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry. If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan, if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit, broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs. If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact our Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back, everybody. This is David Lickin with Lickin on Lending, and it is Monday, December 13th, and we are very fortunate to have Steve Haslam, who is President and CEO of StreetLinks National Appraisal Services. He has extensive experience in this explosive area of the industry since the company was founded in 2008. Steve has led national retail and wholesale lending platforms, origination as well, deep experience in origination for 20 years before joining StreetLinks and becoming a part of this exciting and very dynamic part of the industry. He has also led one of the nation's largest appraisal management firms in the country, and he is just a real delight to speak with. I'm excited to talk with you, Steve. Welcome to the program. And by the way, how cold is it in Pittsburgh today? Do we have we got to find Steve. I think we got his – do we have his mic on? Mike, are you there, Steve? Well, son of a gun, we have Mike. We see him here, but Steve, if you might want to double check your phone to see if it's muted by chance. Hate to see it. We can see you on the panel here, but we can't hear you on the broadcast. How strange. Well, anyway, there's a lot going on. While our producer's working on getting the audio issues resolved with this, there is a lot going on. And Alice, well, I know we're going to be talking to Steve about a lot of the changes. And while we're trying to get this, get Steve on here, and Steve, as soon as you are, we see that you are there. If by chance you could dial back in, Steve, that'd be good. But anyway, Alice, let's talk about some of the things that are going on in the world of the appraiser independence. Is why we go to get Steve back. Give us some insights to some of the things that an overview of what's all that's going on.
Well, as many of you know about Dodd-Frank, and within that was the appraiser independence piece, and then which, if you remember, everybody was all excited about HVC sunset sentences in that, right? So back at the end of October, the Home Valuation Code of Conduct technically sunset, and then we have the appraisal guidance that came out. But this is what came out just in the most recent week here is the interagency guidance from all the banks and the regulators, the interagency appraisal and evaluation guidelines. And those are the what I think Steve is going to be jumping in and talking about as well. What we're all trying to deal with, and I think it affects, you know, those of you who really have to run a solid appraiser approval process. If you've got your own list, you know, how do you manage that now and making sure that, you know, that's being handled correctly? It seems to, when I read a lot of this, affect also a lot of the banks and credit unions on some of their, you know, their internal processes, loans that they weren't going to sell on the secondary market. And perhaps they were using broker price opinions or they were just using an AVM. And so this really hits hard on some of those that type of lending where maybe a lender wasn't using an appraisal or were choosing not to use an appraisal.
Steve, do we have you on the line? Don't know that. We're going to have to keep testing that to find out. There he is. I think he just reappeared up at the top There, right there. Let's see if that. Steve, do we have you with us?
Yeah. Hi, David. I just dialed back in.
All right. Thank you so
all
much.
Right.
Sorry about that, listeners. We the joys of technology, and it's pretty amazing. But anyway, Steve, welcome to the program. Alice, kind of, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Alice's introduction, but she is giving us a little bit of a background. Alice, go ahead.
Well, I was just trying to give people an idea, Steve, of the, you know, the changes. How is HVCC different from now these appraiser independence laws that we're faced with? And the fact that the guidance came out just in the last week or so that applies for the banks and credit unions to be able to get a handle on this moving forward.
Yeah, well, basically the Frank Dodd Act, really all it did as it relates to HVCC, and then subsequently the FHA independence guidelines, is really homogenized all that. The Frank Dodd is very similar in terms of its requirements for independence. It just applies those requirements really across the majority and almost all of residential loans.
So how do you see the appraiser independence, you know, where are we at now as you look forward, and, you know, do lenders have to really pay attention to this now? Because this is effective now, right?
Well, it is. The interim rules of Frank Dodd are on, and all lenders are encouraged to follow along. The actual Frank Dodd will be implemented on April 1st. That doesn't negate the fact that people should be complying with the spirit of that now and continuing essentially what they started under HVCC and FHA.
Well, I think it's interesting the fact that you have a unique perspective on all of this as a former lender. What is your personal view of the whole Dodd-Frank appraisal, the components of it? What from a lender's perspective, what is your thoughts on that?
Well, from a lender's perspective, I think the premise that led to the strict independence rules and regulations, namely that lenders pressured appraisers and that appraisers manipulated results,
right,
I think all that was highly exaggerated. I think the housing mess was more fueled by exotic loans and a
yep.
general desire by government institutions that everyone should own a home and get a loan. Having said that, independence has always been a requirement in the appraisal realm, and all Frank Dodd does is clarify it, define it, how it has to be done, and presumably enforce it. So I'm really okay with it.
Well, I think it's a unique perspective, and I think it's good to hear you say that because I've shared that. I'm not sure that, you know, a lot of the bubble certainly wasn't created by people out there trying to jack up the values. The bubble was created just because of all that was going on in the market. Granted, there's some people out there that were out there beginning to may have tried it. I mean, who wouldn't, if you're selling a house, who wouldn't want to be there with a fresh plate of cookies for the preacher when he walks through the door? But certainly that's not going to be doing the effect on that, Steve. And by the way, thank you so much for dialing back in. The joys of live radio. Sometimes you get these technical difficulties, and you just don't know what to do with it. There's been a lot of energy around the whole customary and reasonable fee aspects of this. Could you give us some thoughts about our perspective on how this is impacting things?
Yeah, well, I think the spirit of customary and reasonable fees and Frank Dodd, I think it's right. I think appraisers should be paid fairly no matter what business model they're operating in. And I know many of our appraisers have told us that some of the large captive AMCs they've worked for that are owned by some of the large lenders or joint ventured with some of the large lenders, that they've had their fees dictated to them and they were abnormally low. They accepted them, obviously, to get the volume and not to be blacklisted. But hopefully in the end, after Frank Dodd is implemented, the consumer, the appraiser, and lender's fees and costs will all come into balance.
You know, I think there's going to be a lot of listeners going out there. I mean, we've vilified this Dodd-Frank bill, and everyone hates this thing. I would love to find I'd glad to hear a positive perspective. I always consider myself a glass half full kind of guy. Love to get your insights into the positive aspects of what this could mean for the industry.
Well,
I'm throwing you a curve here. I know that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good that you spoke positively about that. I mean, there's not a lot of lenders out there that they're speaking too positively about this thing, Steve.
Well, I think it levels the playing field. I don't think anybody's disadvantaged because it levels the playing field for everyone.
Yeah.
So I don't see where anybody goes backwards. I see we have a defined set of rules that apply to all residential loans. And I think if people conform and find the best appraisal solution within that, that you know, they can compete fairly, if not advantageously.
Yeah, it didn't. It, you know, Dodd-Frank did not create HVCC for sure. So I mean, I think the reality is we're finding an industry that is having to deal with new regulation, more regulations. To the profit doctor's point, and it's time to get process and procedures in there so we have consistency operations. Steve, thank you so much. We'll be right back after this brief break.
PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower. From a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges, PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI. In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Steve Haslam is our special guest, President and CEO of StreetLinks. And I am doing this interview, especially some positive comments about the Dodd-Frank bill. Good to have you on the program, Steve. Joe, I know, has some comments about appraisal management companies. Joe, go ahead and jump into the discussion.
Yeah, I was going to say, hi, Steve. I wanted to sort of ask you, I've not been an originator, so I hadn't worked directly with an appraisal management company, but yeah, I've heard about things and I've read about things, and unfortunately, most of what I've heard and read about things is sort of negative, and the origination communities, you know, had negative experience. Is that because it was sort of forced on them in HVCC, or you know, just why is that a negative relationship?
Yeah, well, first of all, hi, Joel. And I think some of that criticism really, again, as a former lender for 20 years, I think some of the criticism is fair. And I think it really comes about that some of the, again, larger AMCs that have been owned or in joint ventured with some of the major lenders, they've been accused of really not focusing on selection of appraisers on the basis of proximity and competency to the subject, quality and service, but perhaps maybe on fees and looking for the lowest fee appraiser. And this is where these complaints about appraisers coming from long distances and, you know, maybe not necessarily being competent to do the job. And on top of that, service issues related to perhaps a profit-motivated reason to be in the business. Now, that's what we hear, and that's pretty pervasive, or it has been. So, again, as a former lender, I worked with AMCs for 20 years. I worked with good ones, and I worked with not-so-good ones, and I think it's all a matter of finding the right one.
Well, Steve, this is Andy. Which is Profit Doctor. Sorry, Andy, jumping in there. Yes.
Yeah, I was already on it, Dave. Thanks. So, Steve, given that you just listed off the list of reasons why people are concerned with or upset with appraisal management companies. Well, what's unique about StreetLink? How does StreetLink address these concerns?
Well, not to sound self-serving, but the fact is that the ownership of this company are former national lending executives and former direct appraiser, licensed appraisal executives. So we've built our business model prior to HVCC to focus all appraisal assignments first on proximity to subject. So when we average under 10 miles in urban and suburban and under 15 in rural month in and month out, we've always done it that way. We pay our appraisers right. We don't dictate fees. We don't set fees. Our appraisers set their own fees when they sign up with us. And then we rate, of course, every assignment on the basis of service, turn time, and quality results. And in order to stay on our panel, you have to meet some very high standards there. So the bottom line is, you know, if you do the business right, you pay the appraiser right, you select them for the assignments right, and you treat them right, they treat you right, and you end up with good turn times, quality product, happy lenders, happy appraisers, and happy homeowners. It's pretty simple, really.
Well, it's interesting that you brought up the turn time, because in the appraiser independence guidelines, it specifically makes reference in a couple of places that, you know, some of the grading systems or weighting of grades that some of the AMCs have used on the appraisers have included how quickly they turn around an appraisal. And this guidance talks to that low cost and speed of delivery, you know, can't override the quality of the report as companies select who the appraiser is.
Yeah, we've heard the horror stories of appraisers being told, you know, they only had 24 or 48 hours, and that's really ridiculous. I never said that we assign on the basis of turn time. I basically say if you pay the appraiser right, you treat them right, and you pick a proximate appraiser, they in turn will deliver you good service, and by natural extension of that, you get good turn times. But our average turn time always has been, always will be in a major lending area, you know, 4.5 to 5 days. That's plenty of time for a proximate appraiser to go out, do a quality assignment, do their research, put together a good report, and send it back. The concept of, you know, a day or two, no appraiser can do a great job and really research the marketplace. So I'm glad that provision actually was put in the bill and that it's addressed that way.
Yeah, it would sound like it would sound like that kind of fits it. So, you know, other than an AMC, what other option do lenders have to comply with this? Can they do it on their own?
Yeah, there's basically three options. One is obviously the full AMC, as we've discussed. The other option would be they could do it in-house themselves with their own separated staff, the staff obviously that manages and vets appraisers and selects them and, you know, manages that whole process. Obviously, it needs to be separated from anybody compensated or involved in loan production. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is very similar to that, but is to get some technology and some auto rotation and assignment technology that really helps an in-house qualified person manage that process. So, you know, they're not stuck with an AMC if you don't want to use one. There are other options. I would say option one of just doing it yourself without any technology is risky.
Right.
There's some pitfalls there. I think if you have the right technology and you're not a huge lender with a big footprint and a dispersed sales force, then, you know, the auto rotation technology could be something that could be helpful, as long as the appraisers that are put in the panel weren't, you know, put on there by the loan officers of the organization.
Yeah, and the credential management gets to be a tough thing as well, and that's something we've helped companies with too. But yeah, it's kind of twofold. It's not just the appraiser rotation; it's all managing all that paperwork on their licensing and their credentials.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. There's a lot of expense involved with that, a lot of overhead. So, an AMC is a positive solution for many people that have compliance expense and concerns such as that.
If you could put on your lender's hat back from your 20 years of lending, which appraisal solution would you be choosing today if you had owned your own mortgage company?
David, if I ran a really small shop and I was, you know, basically doing business in a single state And I had appraisers that were vetted properly, and, you know, they weren't really brought on by the loan officers. And I was not doing a lot of loans, but I had a steady business. I might do it in-house and do it myself. If I was going across a couple of states at a little bit of a larger region, you know, I might look at self-management technology. But if I'm funding 100 or more loans, give or take, and I'm going bigger than a region, multiple states, I'm going national, if I'm buying leads and, you know, working all over the country, and I've got a vast footprint and a distributed sales force, I would definitely use an AMC.
That's great perspective, because we got lenders from all sizes and all shapes and forms and all kinds of market and various markets listening to the program. That's a great recommendation. I know you guys have looked at this and have seen a lot of the frustration that's out there in the market, Steve, and I'm very confident, knowing your staff, and I know personally some of your staff used to work with me in the last mortgage company I ran in Southern California. I'm very impressed with them. And so I know you've surrounded yourself and have a great vision for the future. Tell us, if you can, what is going on in the lab? What are you hoping to release out as some new solutions for the industry? Do you have anything you can kind of let us peek, lift the lid on and let us have some insights and some things coming down around the corner?
Well, you're going to let me be self-serving now, David. I appreciate that. Yeah, we're pretty excited. We've grown 600% here in the last year and a half.
600%.
We've had a lot of requests by our clients for innovative products. We're changing our name to StreetLinks Lender Solutions. You guys are the first to know that. We're expanding beyond just the full appraisal business. And we are diversifying. We're developing a whole suite of intelligent automated valuation mechanisms. Originators are dying for an accurate automated mechanism that allow them to, you know, accurately estimate a home value, so they're not wasting the customer's time and their time, processing a loan on somebody's house who won't appraise. We've got some good risk management automated tools coming out that are totally differentiated from anything that's on the market. It'd be too exhaustive to explain why, but the preliminary testing on these just blows out the typical AVM. We're going into the BPO realm. We've already released a risk-managed product called SCORE. We're getting into technological solutions for lenders. So there's a lot. We'll have some press releases coming out early next year. We'll let you know about them. Maybe you can help us get the word out.
Yeah, we'd love to get the word out about it. Absolutely. So what is the name of the new company? Let's get the new – if you're making the announcement, let's make sure everyone hears it here.
Yeah. It's going to be StreetLinks Lender Solutions from StreetLinks National Appraisal Services. That's the
–
The migration there.
And that's what's really needed, is a solution to a lot of what's going on. Well, I know Donna Del Monte that works with your group, and just one forward-thinking, progressive-thinking individual, and I know you have a whole group of people out there. So very proud and thrilled to have you, Steve, be on the program with us today and kind of giving us some insights to all that's going on. We would like to have you back as you start releasing some of these new products, and so we can get you out. We'd like to showcase some of those here on the program. So will you come back and be with us?
Yeah, David, I really appreciate that. It's been great to be here. I appreciate the audience having me as well. Thank you.
Well, that's good. What's the website everyone can go to listen to it, to gain more knowledge?
Yeah, it's www.streetlinks.com.
Good to have you on the program, Steve. Thank you so much for being a part of us. Folks, we want to get back to our panel and just kind of talk about some of the stuff that's going out there. What I think is so interesting is the volatility in the markets. Joe, let's go back to you. Any more insights? I know you got a team of scientists that kind of work in the back office there. I know you got at least one or more PhDs working on this thing. Any insights of what's going on in the markets?
Well, I've been kind of isolated here in my little bubble for the show, so I do not. But we're working on it. We are up a half a point on the day, and up about three quarters of a point from 11 o'clock this morning. So it's a nice little run, and nice to see that having had such a dramatic drop in prices, rise in rates over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, we lost about 2% in price over the first 2 weeks of December, and that equated to about 3/8 of a point in rate. which really did significantly impact a lot of people in their plans to refinance, and lots of people that had loans in pipeline lost them. So, you know, recovery of some of that might be a very helpful thing for the industry.
Wow, it's really interesting to see what's going on. But everyone stay tuned. By looking at what's going on at MBS Quote Line, you guys can you offer a free 30-day service. If people haven't used it before, they can go in and get that. I think that's very, very good. Andy Schell is heading up this and traveling this week up into the Detroit area to visit your snow, Alice. So I hope you'll do a good job of hosting him up there and making sure he doesn't slip and slide off and that we get him back here into the warm country. But, Andy, I'm excited to have you be. Do you want to give us some parting thoughts from the Prophet Doctrine?
Yes, absolutely, Dave. Just a couple of quick thoughts. One is that to Joe's point about the rates jumping and the effect that's going to have on refi. From the accounting perspective, for those that were mark-to-market accounting, if they had those loans in their pipeline, they recognize the unrealized gain on those loans already.
Good
when those
line.
Loans
yeah.
don't fund, all that's going to go away. So you may end up with big losses in the month of December that have nothing to do with operations. It's all a function of reversing the mark-to-market entry. So that gets technical. We can talk about that more. Other quick point I wanted to make, Dave, is that you and Alice were talking earlier about some confusion over correspondence going away and Title II mortgages.
Yeah.
When I was teaching the CPA classes a couple of weeks ago, this came up too, and I just wanted to clarify that, and most people know this, but just in case someone doesn't, HUD called brokers correspondents and mortgage bankers Title II mortgagees. Mortgage bankers call correspondents people that close loans in their name. So Title II mortgagees, closing loans in your name. So the Chase correspondent division was the group that bought closed loans. In
that's
the HUD world, correspondence was brokers. So
yep.
that's what got confusing for a lot of people.
Yeah, it can get confusing. We thank you so much for bringing that to clarity. By the way, Andy, I know you're going to be talking. We've got the webinar coming up in January. If you could share with our listeners the dates of that webinar. And it's for those of you that are CEOs and CPAs, or also the CFOs of companies, or if you're just interested in bookkeeping and how to do it right, share our listeners a little bit about that upcoming webinar. It's really important and something it should be a must attend for everybody.
Well, sure, Dave. It's a 5-series webinar starting on January the 11th. That's a Tuesday, and it's going to be hosted through Campus MBA. So anybody that wants to attend it can register for that through Campus MBA. There's a nominal fee to attend. And the 5 sessions just talk about the basics of accounting, what CEOs need to know about accounting, how it all fits together, and then we get a little bit deeper into some of the details of accounting and all the way through loan-level accounting. You know, Dave, we talk on the show a lot about loan-level profitability. Well, you can't know that unless you're doing loan-level accounting. So people are asking us, well, I want to get it. I know you keep talking about it. How do I do it? That's what this webinar is going to show. How do you do it? And then we get into how to increase your net worth, and then we end up with hedging for accountants and mark-to-market accounting. You'll understand what I just said about unrealized recognition of gain being reversed in a month where there's a declining pipeline. Why that matters, how it works, will be talked about in that session.
Alice, where are you off to this week? Are you at home staying there? Can you even fly out? Or what's your schedule this week?
Well, this week I'm actually going to be talking to a group of credit unions about, you know, giving them a compliance update and talking about the SAFE Act for their group and what's going on with FHAs and their transitions. And, of course, everybody wants to talk about LO compensation. Dave, how's the LinkedIn group going?
That is, we have up over 800 members. Folks, if you have not become a member of the LinkedIn LO compensation and change rule changes, become a part of it. We love, there's a great thread of dialogue going on in there. Alice and a number of folks are in there helping us guide that stream of thought. Folks, have a great week. Next week we will have on the program David Burson, who's Senior Vice President of PMI. He's the chief economist for PMI, and we are so excited to get the perspective of what's going on this year, but kind of looking over the horizon into 2011. You are not going to want to miss next week's broadcast with David Burson, Senior Vice President, Chief Economist for PMI. Have a great week, everybody. We appreciate you being a part of the program, and be sure to tell your friends about it. We're growing virally, and we appreciate you helping us do so. Have a great week. Look forward to talking to you next week.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
on the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quote Line, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.